Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
On this episode of Wobble, we have Gina Martin. Now, Gina is an incredible activist and author. Gina lobbied for the act of upskirting to be illegal. She is an incredible aura and energy to be around, and she's very real and very open. It's an incredible conversation that definitely left us feeling inspired.
Absolutely. She's incredible. She's just about to release her book, Be the Change, which is all about activism. It's all about making those changes, and it doesn't have to be a law change. You know, as she says, it can be something that you want to change within your community, within your school, within work, all that kind of stuff. So it was an absolute honour to have her. We're both a bit in love with her, I think, actually, now. And here's Gina. I want to dive straight in with the post. I think you posted it last night on Instagram,
yeah.
Which was about your food baby.
Yes.
Right. And I loved it.
Same.
Like, honestly, aww, it spoke to me so much. The thing that you put was, being at peace about my body would be thinking about it less. It was never about my body in the first place. It was all about my head.
Yes.
Amen. First of all,
I mean,
I just want to
preach.
Say, oh my gosh. So first of all, I want to say thank you, because I think you talking about your body in that way allows all of us to think differently about our bodies. I just wanted to know why it was so important to you to post that and for that message.
I think because I have to be honest with myself, I really don't want to be someone that's online that is like held up as this perfect, remarkable person all the time. And I think it's really important for me to talk about how I'm feeling at that moment. And I'd just gone out and had the most delicious meal with Geordie, my partner. We went to this vegan restaurant where they do like loads of diner food. When we ordered it, we were like, can we get that much? She was like, no, yeah, you can get anything you want. But there was like three trays of food and we just devoured and smashed it all and really had the best night. It was so good.
Yeah.
And then
I love the misty eyed look of, it was really good.
It's like romance to me food. I love
yes.
it. And then we got home and we're both on the sofa like groaning. My boyfriend's like Joey from Friends, like he just is obsessed with food. And I went into the bathroom and I went for a wee, and then I was looking in the mirror, and the first thing I did when I looked in the mirror was being like, oh, look at my stomach, it's really bloated, and like automatically had that kind of like guilty feeling.
Yeah.
And I think I've had that guilty feeling. I think most women and lots of people have had that kind of feeling around guilt for a long time, because we're taught to be guilty about indulgence for some stupid reason. I had Florence Gibbons' t-shirt on, who's a friend of mine, that said like, women don't know you're pretty, at the time when I had the belly. And I was like, looked at my belly, I was like, that's actually quite cute. I looked at my picture and I was like, yes, I'm so bored of that stuff. And it was really important for me just to say it, because I think as well, like, I've considered the narrative about body positivity, and that as the phrase, not even as the movement, but I've considered the narrative to be like, I either loathe my body like I did when I was younger, or I love it and I adore it and I'm so proud of it and I get it out all the time. And actually, I sit somewhere in between that.
Which I think most people do.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, and it's not, I think it's not about being body positive. 24/7/52.
Yes.
But it's just trying to lean more that way than the other.
Yeah. But that is a misunderstanding, which I've had. My old story has always been, hate my body, don't want to look down. And actually, I'm like, oh God, now I've got to turn that ship all the way around to get to the place where I'm like, oh my God, I love every tiny bit of it. I love all of it. So yeah, that's why I appreciated your post so much, to go, oh great, I haven't got to get there. That's not the goal.
That's true. And I think that, you know, the people who are really at peace with their bodies are the people for which their body isn't the biggest subject and for which they don't feel the most. There's other things going on. And I just think in the past couple of years, because like I said in the post, I used to be really fit. And in my early 20s, I went 6 times a week and I almost had a six pack and I was always at gym and I loved it. And I was, yes, healthier than I am now. And I could walk up escalators without wanting to literally die. But
Auburn is the worst.
Oh my God.
They are such big
Westminster's
steps.
They are massive.
You've
steps.
Got little legs.
The worst. But yeah, so thinking about it less feels to me like a really healthy place to be, like, I'm thinking about other stuff and it's just not here in my mind.
Because you talk so much about body positivity.
You do, and I think that's given me permission, because I haven't posted about my body before. I think that's why, because reading your stuff as well.
I think with body posi, it's about just being really open about everything. Like, I loved that post because you were like, I'm bloated, but I've had a really good night. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think you don't have to be happy in your body all the time. And how you talked about exercise and working out, and it was that life, but now you have a different life, and both of them are okay.
Yes.
But I love what you said just then about, if it's not the center of your thoughts and it's not the center of your attention, then it means that you're coping with life and you're dealing with all other walks of life rather than just focusing completely on your body.
Yeah.
Like, bodies change day in, day out, and they are going to, what your body is today isn't necessarily what it's going to be in 2 months' time. So there's no point hating it consistently. And I think as well, there's so much negative manifesting. Like, I hate my thighs. If you say that every single day, then of course you're going to hate your thighs.
Yeah,
but
totally.
If you just shift it to, like, talking more positively about yourself and accepting what your body is doing for you.
Yeah. I think that's a really important point. Accepting what your body does, not what it looks like.
Yes.
You know, there's been so much, particularly around the conversation around periods, for example, that reversal from it being shameful and secretive to actually going, oh my God, like, this is an unbelievable thing that a body can do. It can produce people, for God's sake. You know, like, and but it is kind of shifting that around or going, look how, look, I can go up these big steps on this escalator. And just, if you can switch to that, that's huge.
And that's a hard thing to do, I think.
Yes.
Only because that's the dream, isn't it? I think that is the absolute dream. And I just, you're kind of unlearning and you're unpicking literally years of the only message being, focus on what your body looks like, because that's your value.
Yeah.
So you're literally doing therapy, going through like the last 20 odd years of trying to get rid of some of that, the effect of those messages in some way.
Yeah.
But if we can get there in a small way, it can have a transformative effect on your life, I think.
Yeah.
I've noticed the difference in my purpose and my confidence in the last 2 years, just because of this, that, you know, helps me walk around every day and helps me run and play and wrestle and boyfriend and do all the wonderful things. But this just isn't the focus of my attention anymore. It's so much more liberating for me to be excited about learning or excited about experiences, or like, I can't think of one moment where I've looked in the mirror about body and was glad afterwards that I'd pained myself over it.
Yes.
Such a wasted amount of time, you know?
God, and it's so much energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so much headspace, and it's exhausting, actually, if you're constantly in that cycle. And I always talk about the waiting room, so placing yourself in the position of, well, when I change this about my body, when my thighs are smaller, then I'll like them. When I've lost weight, then I can wear nice clothes, or then I can enjoy this. And it's a really dangerous place, because a waiting room can, oh my God, it can last for years.
That is such a great way of putting it, because that's such a visual that now you'll think about.
Yeah, you're just sat there with a crap magazine waiting.
Yes. With a crap magazine. It's always a crap magazine. It's always from like 5 years ago.
It's always some bullshit mag. And you're just waiting, reading that gossip column.
From 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's it. Reading about Katie Price's marriage in 2015.
But I also think it's about being in the present. And it's about being right in that moment of like, this is what it is now. But when you, I call them the wardrobe meltdowns. And like, it can come at any point when something just doesn't quite fit. Or if you are feeling bloated, or if you did have that meal the night before and you just look in the mirror and you try something on that maybe is a bit snug, and the meltdown starts and nothing's right and nothing works, and you either have the choice to stay in the room and go onto the spiral of doom, or you just break the cycle and leave. And I always put on like elasticate, anything with elastic in it, leave, have a green smoothie for lunch and just get over it.
Like, or have a burger in my case.
Oh, no, I need the green smoothie because it's so healthy and then I feel healthy and then it like brings me back.
But it's don't
like
marinate in the...
Yeah, yes. Don't marinate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a vision.
I love my, I love the word marinate. I marinate
really
too
good.
Much.
Yeah.
God, it's fantastic. I'm going to use marinate more.
I'm going to use waiting room more. God, we're learning so much today, guys.
Swap and share,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Look, let's go right back to, because I want to talk about the petition. The fact that you changed the law, Gina. I mean, it is amazing because I think so many people have campaigns that they're really passionate about. They start petitions, even, you know, and especially now this sort of climate, there's so much to sort of get involved with, and really important causes. And there's a difference between that and actually getting a fundamental change in the law. So how did that process start for you?
So that was July 2017. So I was at British Summertime Festival, which I still can't say after all this time. And I was waiting for a band to come on stage with my sister and a group of guys who were hitting on me. But there's like 10 of them, but two of them were being a bit weird. And they were continually hitting on me and I kept saying no. And then I started to get angry. And then he made a really awful joke and I commented back something really cutting back to him. And he obviously grew kind of angry at me because he put his phone between my legs and took photos of my skirt and my crotch. But he sent them to all the guys around him because they were sort of, you know, when you feel someone like people laughing at you and you have no idea why. I was like, well, that's weird. And then I looked in front of me and one of the guys was standing in front of me and I kind of looked round the side of him and he was on his phone and he'd been sent the pictures of my crotch on WhatsApp and he was like laughing at them and they all had them. So I kind of grabbed the phone off him and held it up and got it away from him, started shouting about what he'd done, and he like grabbed me and we got into a fight. And then some people in the crowd, some guys were like, he was shaking me and I couldn't get away from him. So these guys were like, looked at me and they were like, run. And they like pushed him and I like ran through the crowd to the security and gave the phone in. He ran after me. So I handed him in and the pictures were on the phone. Police came and then separated us and then looked at the pictures and then said, they show more than you want them to show, but they're not a graphic image because you're wearing knickers. So there's nothing we can do. Sorry. And then just let us carry on with our night. I don't even think they kicked him out. And I spent the rest of the night like trying to dance and just like pretty much just devastated. And then went home and they closed the case and I looked into the law. I was like, hang on a second. I know that upskirt pictures are part of the weird, insidious part of the kind of porn culture on the internet, like non-consensual photos. I know that's a thing. There's no way there's no regulations against that. Like, what if I was like a kid? Like, what's going on here? So I looked it up and found out that they'd been illegal in Scotland for 10 years, but they weren't a sexual offence in England and Wales and in loads of countries all over the world. Every single country with this kind of legislation is different because it's digital technology and the law just hasn't caught up with it. So I spent about 3 weeks desperately researching that current laws, what I really wanted it to be like now. I started a social media campaign. I had a picture of the guys on the phone behind me by chance. I'd taken a selfie with my sister and they were behind me. I found it on my phone. I put it on Facebook and was like, share this around, put it on Twitter, put it on Instagram. Everyone share it, was smashing it everywhere. And then Facebook got in contact and was like, you have to take that picture down because that's harassment because you put a picture of them up. And I was like, they've got photos of my crotch and that's not harassment, but me putting a picture of them on Facebook, like this is, I just got so angry.
Yeah. I'm angry listening
to
that.
My God. I was just, I was so angry. And then I started a big social media campaign, a petition. Then I started meeting up with lawyers and law firms, got a lawyer called Ryan Whelan, who's now a great friend. And we were backed by their law firm, which is global. And then we came up with a political strategy and a media campaign. And then we went into Parliament, lobbied the government for 2 years, and then worked with them to get two bills through that eventually changed the law. But that's the short version of the story.
Yes, there was a lot there.
Such a complex.
And then we went to court.
I hope you can edit
years,
that. Good luck. Good luck. It's so much.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Just tell us exactly how the law changed and what is now illegal.
Okay, so previously it wasn't a sexual offence. You could only prosecute with like an old common law that didn't really work. And so now upskirting is a sexual offence under the Sexual Offences Act 2003, Section 67. And it basically means that if you are upskirted, so if someone operates equipment under your clothes of your body that would otherwise be covered by clothes, so if you've chosen to cover an area and that area is photographed, then you go to the police and you say, I've been upskirted, I know it's a sexual offence. You have anonymity, so you're protected, so more people can come forward. And there's a range of punishments from fines to them being on the sexual offenders register to 2 years in jail. Previously, they would have had none of that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That I mean, amazing.
Like, beyond incredible, actually. I almost want to give you a little round of applause.
But also, I'm sorry that you had to go through what you went through in order for that to happen. I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad that you took this situation and did what you've done with it, because there's not a lot of people out there that would have the confidence to do what you've done.
No, I don't think I would.
Really nice.
I think if it had happened to me, I'd try and forget about it. Do you know what I mean?
I think, but I have. That's the thing. I have for so many other things.
Yeah.
So I totally get that. Like, I grew up with, you know, like, I used to work in a bar in uni and the bodyguard, they used to wear stab vests because it was a really, not a great bar. And the security guard, yeah, came up and, like, when I was, like, 18 and, like, lifted my shirt up and was, like, was feeling my chest and was, like, just checking and not wearing a stab proof vest. And I laughed it off because I was 18. You know, get your bum grabbed in bars, been shouted at from, like, I have laughed it all off, and I think it was just the last time I was, like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this again. Like, I'm just overdoing that. I'll just see if I can. It was literally like, I'll give it a go because I was just angry.
Yeah. Obviously, you got the lawyers involved. You got the sort of legal team around you so you could, because you need to do, if you're going to do something like this, you've got to do it properly.
Totally.
Haven't you? You can't just sort of stand outside Parliament
and
shouting.
I'm not a lawyer. It would have been stupid for me to be like, I'm going to write the legislation myself. It's like, no, you're not, Gina. You're an arts major. Get a lawyer involved who can actually do
and
that
the
part.
Law firm paid for all your legal costs.
Yes, pro bono.
Amazing.
Which is so wonderful.
Incredible.
People don't even know about that. I didn't know you could get a lawyer free.
No. That's not what they tell you in the films.
Exactly.
It's
that's
a fortune. Yeah, an absolute fortune. So Jamie Windus was on Wobble last week, and I know they've been talking to you about their petition, which is going on at the moment, to get the way people identify on legal documents changed. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been talking to them about it. And something that they said, which I loved, was that to do something like this, you've got to go into spaces that you've never been in before.
Totally.
You've got to go to court. You've got to go to Parliament and things like this. And I loved the advice that you'd given them, that you stand in front of the mirror before you go in and you talk to yourself.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. You go into spaces that, A, you're not used to being in, and B, you're not necessarily welcomed in. And those spaces are almost, they're almost created to only really make a certain type of person feel comfortable. And that's me as a white woman going in there feeling like that. So you can imagine what it's like to be anyone from any kind of marginalised community. But it's really hard to show up. I found it really hard to show up and be in those spaces and stand my ground when I'm surrounded by, you know, 60, 50-year-old men in suits who don't speak the same way I do, don't understand what working-class life is like, don't even think I'm, you know, they're trying to make me feel small. And they do.
And I would imagine quite a hetero world.
Totally hetero world. Just straight white men. Like, that's it, pretty much. Very, very few women. And the women who are in there are brilliant, but and also everyone's white. So it's just a very odd space to be in. But, yeah, you have to do those things. I think, like, we're all, well, I was a bit like, oh, I'm not going to do daily affirmations or, like, that's all bullshit or whatever, you know? It's actually not, like, whatever you have to do to help yourself get through that. I would stand in the toilets in Parliament, look in the mirror and be like, you know what you're talking about. You know why you're here. You're here for a reason. Go in and say these three things. And I would repeat the three things I needed, the objectives from that meeting over and over again. And I'd just look in my own eyes, because I think we tell ourselves so many messages in our heads, but saying it out loud and really getting it in is a really positive, can be a really positive thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, you're a huge fan of affirmations. I mean, we both are.
Huge, but that's now. Positively manifesting, repeating it, it becomes true within your brain. So yeah. It's like, it's almost like revision for yourself.
Totally.
And you keep reminding yourself, you keep putting in. What I'm fascinated by is, for me, this seems like it should have been done years ago. Mm. And it seems so obvious that it would be illegal and people should be punished for doing, for upskirting.
Yeah.
How hard was it to convince people in Parliament? Because as soon as you said what had happened to you, I was like, of course.
Yes,
of course.
It's that, a no-brainer.
Like, of course, like that makes total sense. What did you have to go through?
It was really, it's really complex, I think, with politics, because it, almost, how do I phrase this in a way that is fair? Compassionate understanding and logic and human logic almost... It does exist there, but it's so legislatory.
Ooh,
and so
very
good.
God.
Sorry.
Can I have a vowel, Carol?
That was fantastic. It's so legislatory. It's so like all legalese and it's so complex. It's really, there's such a process. The question was almost never, is this the right thing to do? Every MP I met as a person was like, yeah. But it was more, apart from Chope, but we ignore that guy. but it was more, is this something we can do? I'm not sure it is. We all want to go to Parliament and be able, there's so many, there's millions of things. I could sit in a room for 9 hours and go, this needs change, this needs change, we need to do this, you know? But it's, how do I make that a priority for them? How do I really show them and often agitate them into action, because they're doing a million things every day. It's not even that they don't agree with it, and they know it's an easy win, and they also know it will look good for them if they do it. But it's just... Well, it's not really feasible right now. You know, we're in the middle of Brexit and you're in the room asking to meet me to check. You know, there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so much resource. Getting government time is a nightmare. Getting the government to have their own unique, specific time for a one issue is like gold dust at Parliament. So much process, so many questions. It had to be so strategic and we had to be so well-timed and we had to be asking for the right things at the right time in the right way with only the right people, you know, because just to get anything through there is difficult, I think, even just for an MP with a prime member's bill. So for to be me in my, you know, cartoon shirts, like, it's
so
quite hard.
How did you do it? Like was that all the legal advice to go, it's got to be this person, it's got to be this
yes.
time? And that agitation that you mentioned, how do you do it?
So I was, my role was media. I'm very good at like media strategy and I'm very good at getting the public engaged on issues. I was also good at, I was the human story, was like this person in Parliament who was going like, you need to do this because I'm showing you, here's all the stories from kids, here's all the, and then Ryan was the logical legislation side, the law side, the strategic political side.
Yeah,
he knew who to talk to at the right times. Okay, well, we've talked to Labour about it, so now let's go over and talk to, he was all that. And I think that combination was quite different, because generally a lot of activists who do incredible work anyway, but they're in groups or they're on their own, and I think it was really complementary, the power structure of the male lawyer who could find out what they're going to do kind of 3 steps before they did it, and then the kind of passionate activists together. I think that really worked. But it was literally about going in and convincing MPs one by one to support the cause. And we'd already written out all the legislation and we'd already got all the legal authorities in the UK to sign saying we were right about the solution.
Yeah.
So we were just trying to get them to support this one piece of paper and then table a bill.
Okay.
So it was getting individuals and then creating basically an army.
Did you ever want to give up?
Yes, millions of times.
Did you?
Yes. It was really horrible. The whole thing was really hard.
And did you have any sort of backlash?
Not really backlash on like the issue, but more just like online abuse. Like just a lot. I've had rape threats for like a year and a half.
I don't know why. That's full on.
That's really full
that's
on.
Full
yeah,
on.
Really. It's been really hard.
And how do you deal with that?
I started dealing with them. I would try and like educate them. Then it was like, that's not going to work. That's yeah. stupid. And then I did it when I was drunk and that was even worse. Now I kind of do this thing where I write a response, really lame, but I write a response in the box and then I just screenshot it and then I delete it so I feel like I've sent it.
Yeah.
Because I can't not
respond.
No, yeah. I need to respond, but if I do, they just get worse and they're awful. And I also don't want to give them anything. Send me a threat of rape or whatever, or violent threat, and then I reply, give me exactly what they want.
It's so crazy to listen that you've done such a good thing. What a world.
I know, totally.
What a world. You don't deserve that. You deserve a bloody flow.
We'll get you a flow.
Oh my God, that's all I want.
You deserve a flow, a tutu,
all
go-go
any of us
dancers.
Want, Gina.
Like,
it's all
of it.
I need that,
want.
Please. Yes. That would be so much better.
We should talk about the book.
Oh, I'd love to. Yay.
Because the book is a toolkit.
It is.
In how to be an activist. I'm so interested if you can give us any nuggets of this, because I'm going to use myself as an example.
Yeah.
So beauty industry didn't really use any other shapes or sizes until really Isle of Paradise came onto the scene. Going to say that with pride.
Yeah.
If I wanted to then take that to Parliament and be like, it needs to be legal that we don't use certain shapes and sizes. Yeah. How would one go about that?
So it's really interesting, I think, because I get asked this like so much with different campaigns. And I'm like, I wish, if I was going to help you, I'd have to sit with you in a room for 3 days and go through it, because every campaign is like its own beast. You're going to need to talk to different people about different things. Your strategy is going to be wildly different from anything else, even if it's in the same sector, because of timing, because of what the objective is. Like, it's just, I can't even go A to Z. But there are things that are easy wins and things that you can do that you need to keep in your head, because whatever your roadmap is to getting there, you'll need to do these things. For instance, one being in the book. We see time and time again with, I think, with campaigns that people have the idea for the beginning of the campaign they start. So they go, okay, I'm going to do a load of press about an issue and do an awareness campaign. Great. And that's awesome. And awareness is awesome and great. But have you thought 4 steps ahead? So why are you doing that awareness campaign? So who are you going to then take that to? And what do you think they'll do with it, depending on how it exists and where you put the content? I think we work forwards quite a lot. So mm-hmm. in the book, I do a big bit about how you need to set the end goal, which could be 14 years, could be 3 months. And then you strategically work backwards. So you put the blocks in from backwards to the beginning, because then you know you can get there. Mm-hmm. Also, everything from like in the book is like practical stuff, writing a press release. Like, people don't know how to do that, how to find all the contacts to send your press out to. I didn't know that. You would know that because you're brilliant and all that stuff. I had no idea.
I would have no idea.
No.
I just hustle.
That's what the book is. The book just says hustle.
Jules has seen everyone in their pants, which really
just
helps.
Yes.
I just do face-to-face wrestling.
So good.
I think, activism aside, that having that goal, whatever it is in your life, something that you want to achieve, a change that you want to seek, I think that can be applied, that strategy of starting with an end goal and strategically plotting backwards.
Yeah.
Because I know Lucy Sheridan, who we love, and she's amazing. She's on Wobble series. We mention her whenever we can. Oh. Wobble series 1, just incredible. She says, when you know what you want and you are here, everything just in between is just problem solving.
Exactly right.
Which I think you can apply to anything.
Totally. And I think we often don't put that end goal out there because often that end goal is far past the line of where we're comfortable with it going.
Yes.
If I'd gone, my end goal is to be in Parliament in July 2019, I would have gone, that's stupid, Gina. They're not going to be there that quick. And also, who do you think you are? You know, so it's getting past the fear of being like, I'm putting that there. It might move, it might shift. But if I can put all the problems, like exactly like Lucy said, if I can solve all these problems in between, then I've got the roadmap already set out to get there. Even if it does shift, I've got a skeleton that I can go by. I think that's something you have to do. I don't think I could have gone, okay, I'm going to do a petition and then been like, what do I do with it if people sign it? You know,
I love what you just said about being scared of making that goal. Like for you going, I'm going to change the law.
Yeah.
For you launching your own tanning brand. Mm. You know, those things that they're sort of like our secret wildest dreams, aren't they?
Yes, they feel too much to ask.
They do, don't they? And they're not.
No.
They're just not. And we've got to keep going with those. We've got to, because if those goals and those get passed to one side, we're always going to feel that.
Yes, totally. You know? Totally. I think we all have to have that. Also, isn't that what it's about? Like, why else be here?
Yeah.
Have wild dreams you want to do and stupid things you don't even think you're worried you can't achieve. Like, that's the point of life. Like, go and try.
Yes.
The fun is in trying. You know?
And what's the worst that can happen? You fail.
Yes.
Like, that's it. You're
exactly
not dying.
You're
like,
nothing's got worse.
Yeah,
totally.
Failure has not become such a dirty word in the last sort of few years. I think that failure was always like, oh my God, you don't want to fail. Like, how embarrassing. What would people say? Well, if you get this chance, you'll never get a chance again. You know,
we know where that comes from, don't we? The generation above. Yes. Don't fail. What will people think?
So, well, that's true. It. All of that. But I do think we're reclaiming it.
I think
that word is getting reclaimed.
So
which is the idea that, you can fail because you tried. That's amazing. And what did you learn? And
I just gesticulated wildly. I was like, I just saw a meme the other day. It's really good about this. It said, people are scared of starting over again, but starting over again isn't starting from scratch. Starting over again is starting from experience.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
I was like, that's so true.
Yes.
Well, I don't believe in mistakes. It's learning curves.
Absolutely. And there's so many amazing stories about entrepreneurs and people who've done incredible things that failed so hugely, like so massively before they got anywhere near anything that looked like success.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
When's the book out, Gina?
Yay! It's on June 13th.
Woo!
Yay!
And you're doing a book tour. I feel like you're going everywhere.
Oh my God, apparently not. People are very upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I had to put a thing up being like,
calm down.
I'm not. No, Buckner. I'm not Sting. I don't get to choose and do a 50 million date tour. But yes, going out with the book, going to Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, Bristol, obviously in London. We're going to be going to other places as well after launch. But basically, I really want to facilitate conversations with activists from those cities. Could be a kid who's doing something really interesting. Amika George, who's brilliant, who's doing London with me. And just like really get to the kind of base level of like how you can start or bring about that in you if you don't. Because a lot of people, because activists is just a person who tried a thing. That's literally what an activist is. We talk about activists like activists, remarkable people. They're not remarkable people. They're just people who pushed hard and didn't stop. That's literally all it is. How do we get to getting practical knowledge from these activists who have actually done amazing things? Because I think there's a quote my friend always says, which is like, when we say like go girl, often at events, I'm like, yes, go girl. But I'm already going girl and I still don't know what to do. You know?
So, well, keep going.
Keep going. Yeah, yeah, but I don't know what to do once I'm here. Like, so practical advice, really like teaching people how they've done what they've done.
Fantastic.
And hopefully people come away with an action they can do that'll make the world a bit better.
So
place.
Should people contact you before they're going to come?
I'd love that. Contact me always, yeah. People, you can buy tickets from my Instagram and from Twitter as well. We'll be putting a lot more stuff out in the next couple of weeks about it. Yeah, they're all at Waterstones and you can buy them from the Waterstones websites as well. But it's just really, I just really want to have positive conversations, you know, in these rooms and get people excited about the idea. It can be like just changing something in your school, or it can be in your community. It doesn't have to be Parliament. The book is not written about changing the law. The book is how to change, even from consumer spending all the way up to Parliament. You know, it's every level. I just want people to really believe they can do that, because I don't think it's helpful for me to stand up here as some like, oh yes, I changed the law, remarkable. It's like, no, it was really horrific and I just really tried and I learned along the way. That's literally how I did it.
Gina, we always ask every guest who comes on Wobble, what is it in life that makes you wobble?
I'm really bad with organisation and I get really stressed out with the fact that I'm not going to be able to deliver something to a perfect quality. It's basically letting people down. If I let people down anyway, if I don't supply the best of my work, if I don't make the birthday party the best party ever, if I feel like I've not done the best for someone that I care about, I get very upset. And letting people down in some way, the worst thing is the idea that someone would be disappointed in me. That, like, even now saying it makes me want to cry.
Right.
Like, I get really worried that the people I love would be like, oh, she wasn't there for me, or she didn't do this. That really upsets me. So I wobble if I don't do my best. I wobble, which is probably not a good thing.
Well, there's potentially a perfection drama.
Yes.
There isn't there, which can be really frightening.
And if it affects people. I don't care. The funny thing is if I mess up on my own terms and it's only me that has to deal with that, I really don't care. I'm like, oh, I'm a human, I did my best. But if I let other people down, I get really upset.
Yeah.
I think that makes me wobble.
Quite a creative brain.
Yes.
Doing that. Like, I read a book, it was like basically a coping mechanism if you are creative through life. And it just absolutely changed my whole outlook on my day-to-day, because it says in the book that our creative brains create things and we have ideas and we're all really happy and we like making things.
Yeah.
And when things don't go our way, that's when all the self-hatred starts. And it's actually, we're not bad people.
No.
We're just creatives.
Yeah.
And like, that's a thing.
That's really interesting. I'd really like to read that.
I'll send you the link and we'll put it in the description
yes,
below.
Absolutely.
It is an incredible, incredible book.
Okay. I think we also love people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think, you know, I think if you... There's a lot of humanity in that, actually, about not wanting to let people down.
Yeah.
I think it's just because you like people.
And I think that makes sense for me, because my relationships are kind of everything. Yeah. I honestly you could take my work away, you could take anything, like my friends and my family, that's the most just sacred thing in my life. So I think relationships and being there for people, like, that's probably why I feel like that. That's probably why that's my thing, because my family and friends are my thing, you know?
Yeah. Which they should be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
God,
they absolutely,
so
if you're
going
to choose something, it may
choose
as well be
that. Yeah, totally.
Gina, what an absolute honour. What a joy. I feel like
thanks
we could get...
Thanks for having me.
We'll put you
an
on a float.
Incredible, incredible chat. I've loved
yes.
it.
Yes. Oh, you guys are the best.
Gina is an amazing example of somebody who had a horrible experience and could have left it there easily and just gone, do you know what? I'm just going to forget that ever happened to me. And she has had to retell it so many times to get her point across. She's had to listen to other people who have had it happen to them. She's had to go through it again and again and again in that way. And what a positive, huge, amazing thing to come
and
out of it.
It was very raw when Gina was telling us the story. Like, and I know she won't mind us saying it, like, she had tears in her eyes when she was telling us about the moment where the picture was taken. To take it from that rawness and that horrible experience and then put all of that angst and channel it down the funnel and into energy and make it into a positive thing that she has lobbied for and been to Parliament
yes.
and had to stand there as a creative woman in a room that is not really identifying with what she's about. That's so difficult, and she just deserves like a Medal of Accolade. Yes. Like, I hope she gets an MBE for doing yeah. what she's done. I hope she deserves it. Like, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
And I think the conversation with her, there's so many incredible bits of wisdom and advice. And I think her book tour, if you are in the areas where her book tour is, go down and meet Gina. Go on your own. It doesn't matter. Like, just get a bit of Gina's energy because, yeah. God, it's good.
Gina, thank you so much for being on Wobble. Just what an incredible... It's one of those episodes, we say this all the time on Wobble, I will listen to that episode again and again.
Same.
Because there's
over
so many things. There's so many things she says. And the way she speaks and the way she expresses herself is just so brilliant. So, Gina, thank you so much for coming on. We're almost at the end of Series 3. We've got a very, very special episode for you, which will be out next Wednesday. And it will be the Wobble Live, right, which is happening. It's happening in association with Olivia Burton. It is Mental Health Awareness Week next week. So we're going to do that in honour of that. Amazing guests. We're really looking forward to it. So yes, it'd be lovely to have you there. Please do like and subscribe. Don't forget, 3 whole series of Wobble to go and dive back into and to get some little nuggets out of as well. And we will see you next week for a very special episode of Wobble.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.